Making Wise Choices in Our Pursuit of Happiness. That's the discussion today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
If you live your life by your feelings, you will be an emotional roller coaster because your feelings are not dependable. It's not good enough to say, just be true to yourself and follow your feelings. You will end up making yourself and everybody around you a mess if you follow that advice.
And welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. My name is Wayne Shepherd. You know, the choices we make in this life can have serious consequences, but unfortunately, we don't always take our choices all that seriously. We go off on our feelings, our gut, or sometimes we simply follow the advice of people we really shouldn't be following. Mark, we're digging deeper into Scripture today with your help to find God's advice on how to make the right choices as we pursue happiness.
That's right, Wayne. A lot of people I talk to get their advice from some other guy at the bar who's on his fourth drink.
No way.
And is pretty unhappy and miserable. And so they say, tell me, what do you think about? And that's our advice. Hey, today we're going straight to the Word of God.
Amen.
To understand how the choices we make, the small and large choices we make, can lead to the fulfillment of our soul or the happiness in our life. So listen up, because this is an important message.
Yeah, this is the authority, God's Word. Now, if you missed the first segment of our lesson, feel free to catch up whenever you can by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. So right now, let's join Mark Jobe as he continues this lesson in Psalm 1, titled The Power of Choices.
You know, there's a lot of advice that we get these days that even I hear in the Christian circles that sound like good advice. It's like pop culture advice, but it's not really biblical advice. You want to hear some of them? Whatever makes you feel happy at the moment. Bad advice. You know how many married men I've talked to that say, well, I'm unhappy in my marriage. It's dry. It's not going good. But you know, that girl at work that's, you know, 10 years younger than me, it just feels really good. I think it would make me happy. Bad advice. Let me tell you what else I hear. I'm just talking of this bad advice that we buy into sometimes, and I even hear in the Christian circles. Well, here's another one. You just need to love yourself more. Now, let me just say, you may have said that, and I understand the intention behind it. You'll never find that in the Bible. And I hear people say a lot, I just need to love myself more. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Love God more, and when you love God more, you will understand your worth and your significance and who you are and your dignity in God. Here's another popular one. Just be true to yourself and follow your feelings. Just be true to yourself and follow your feelings. That sounds so like such a good advice. Listen, you just need to be true to yourself and follow your feelings. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked, and not to follow our heart, because our heart will lead us astray. You know how many people I've talked to that were either on the verge of committing suicide because they felt like no one cares, I'm alone in the universe? That's not the truth. Their feelings told them life is not worth living, but the reality is that life was worth living, that they weren't alone in the universe, that there were people that loved them. So no, it's not about just following your feelings. I've had people say to me, listen, I don't think I could ever be clean. There's things I've done that could never be forgiven. And they feel guilty and ashamed. Yet the Word of God says, no matter what you have done, there is power in the blood of Jesus to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Our feelings sometimes tell us, hey, this is not worth battling for. And the Word of God says, no, battle for it. If you live your life by your feelings, you will be an emotional roller coaster, undependable, that makes a lot of mistakes in life and literally makes the people around you a mess because your feelings are not dependable. It's not good enough to say, just be true to yourself and follow your feelings. You will end up making yourself and everybody around you a mess if you follow that advice. So I just want to say that pop psychology, street counseling, so to speak, things that sound good on the outside have a veneer of truth, but if they don't match with the Word of God, no, you should not follow those. Blessed is the person that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he says, or stand in the path of sinners. This idea of standing means that I am actually walking alongside, I'm in the same route with other people that are doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Now, let me say this. There's not a person in this auditorium that's not a sinner. So if we said, let's avoid sinners, we'd avoid everybody. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. He's a sinner. She's a sinner. We're all sinners. Tell the person beside you, you know, you're a sinner. Did it feel good to tell them that?
Yeah.
I saw some of you spouses getting a little into it, like you're a sinner. And then you started listing the sins. You're still talking right now. You're trying to sell. I didn't tell you. Hey, the point that I'm making is that we all have our flaws. We all have fallen short. We all have issues that we need to work on. So the Bible is not telling us that we are to avoid people that have issues because we would avoid everybody, including ourselves. What the Bible is telling us is that certain people are walking in a way and engaged in behavior that if we know is wrong, if we hang out, if that's our circle, ultimately that behavior will start to become our behavior.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and Mark is both president at Moody Bible Institute and a pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Stay with us because we're continuing today's message in just a moment. Before we do, a quick reminder that if you ever miss one of these daily teachings, or if you want to go back and revisit a message, it's a good idea sometimes. You can do that anytime by visiting our website, boldstepsradio.org, boldstepsglobal.com. There at the website, you'll find several faith-building resources and opportunities, and you can share your testimony or Bible questions with Mark. Mark, that's okay with you, right?
Wayne, we love hearing from our listeners. If you have a testimony of how God has used this program, if you have a question that you would like for me to address, if you have a comment, we love to hear from you. We read all of our comments. We listen to them. And we love hearing feedback from people really all around the world.
Yeah. Now, sometimes we get some pretty heavy testimonies and questions. In fact, we recently received a note from a listener who wanted to ask this question, Mark. Does someone who commits suicide go to hell?
Yes, thank you for asking that question. You know, I'm going to answer this both theologically and then from a pastoral perspective.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as a pastor, I've had to do too many funerals of individuals who took their life at a very dark moment in time.
Wow.
And it's always just heart-wrenching to try to speak into the family members' lives. But I've had mothers ask me and fathers ask me, is it true that if someone commits suicide, that they go to hell? So let me just be clear about this. The only sin that condemns us to hell is the rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, it says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the Apostle Paul reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In 1 John chapter 5, 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." So I want to be clear about this. It is a tragic condition when someone is so hopeless, so discouraged, so depressed, that in a moment of just insanity, they take their life. And it is self-murder. So it's a sin. It's against God. It's never the will of God. However, there is no sin that condemns us except the rejection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it is possible that someone that knows God and that is born again and has the Spirit of God inside of them can reach a place of just desperation and in a dark, foolish moment can take their life. But it does not condemn people to hell. This is a tradition that goes back to some of the traditions, other traditions that talk about suicide being a mortal sin mm-hmm. as opposed to another type of sin.
Right.
That's not in Scripture. That's a church tradition. So I just want to relieve a parent that may have a believing son or daughter that in a moment took their life.
I think that's a very comforting word to a lot of people listening.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to say, however, if you're listening today and you're struggling with suicidal thoughts or ideation, I want to encourage you not to just let it go. Or if you know someone that's struggling with suicidal thoughts, there are places that can get help and there are resources that can help you out. For example, I want to direct your attention to reachingyou.org, which is a website that was created by a woman by the name of Kristen Anderson, who's actually a suicide survivor who at an early age, at a desperate time in her life, attempted suicide. And she ended up later on coming to Moody Bible Institute and has a real passion. She's a wife, a mother, a founder of Reaching You, but she has a heart to help people that are hurting and hopeless. And Wayne, I have to tell you that over the last few years, I have talked to so many, especially under the age of 30, that have struggled because of isolation, depression, anxiety, that have struggled in very intense ways with suicidal thoughts. So if you're listening to me today, I just want to speak hope into your life. This will pass. Hang in there. Your life has a purpose. This dark cloud will pass. But do not do anything desperate in a moment of darkness.
We thank God for Kristen and how she's reaching out to help people who are struggling with this issue of suicide. I want to emphasize her website again. It's for you if you have any thoughts leading to suicide or if you know someone that you're concerned about them, please check out this website and take advantage of its ministry to you. It's www.reachingyou.org. Reachingyou.org, a critically important website. And if you do have a question for Mark or want to tell us how Bold Steps has helped you in your walk with Christ, be sure to reach out today. Go online to boldstepsradio.org. You can also call us and leave your message on a recorded phone line by dialing 312-329-2011. 312-329-2011. All right, thank you for that, Mark. Now let's get back to your message about the power of choices and our pursuit of happiness.
If you walk in a circle that normalizes a certain behavior, after a while it becomes our behavior and we start to embed in that behavior. And the Bible says, you know, watch it because it's about your thinking, it's about your behavior. And then thirdly, it says, and blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. That's about belonging. When you feel comfortable enough to sit down with someone, to hang out with someone, to be at a cafe with someone, that means this is your place of belonging. You are not going anywhere. You're not crossing paths. You're actually sitting with them, talking with them. This is your belonging place. You are comfortable enough to sit down with them. Hear me well. This is important. The Bible says, or sit in the seat of scornful. What does it mean by that? You know, we live in a day and age where cynicism has become a national pandemic, so to speak. Do you know what cynicism is? Cynicism, if you look it up in the dictionary, cynicism, or a person that's a cynic, is a person who believes that all people are motivated by selfishness or ulterior motives. That's cynicism. Now, we live in a day and age that's full of cynicism because we've been disappointed a lot. We look at political leaders and their cynicism about politics. Can we trust them? They're just saying things to get votes. We are cynical about educational leaders. We're cynical about people in authority. We're cynical about marriage and cynical about our bosses. We're cynical about our teachers. We ask ourselves this question, why are they doing this? Can I really trust them? What is their ulterior motive? If you've been hurt, especially by someone that you trusted, then you can easily develop a heart of cynicism. If you have been in a relationship and you were lured in by nice words and romantic verbiage and flowers and cards, and then you were used, misused, and dropped, then the next time someone comes with nice words and words of affirmation or I love you or cards, guess what? In your mind, you're saying, I'm not going to fall again. And you become cynical a little bit and you ask yourself, what's the motive? Are they going to drop me? I don't really trust this person. Because people that are hurt or disappointed or have been manipulated before become cynical. Now, the problem with cynical, and I think we need to be discerning. I think we need to be smart. I think we need to investigate. But I think we need to be careful not to develop a cynical spirit. People that are cynical believe the worst about everything. People that are cynical don't see good in anything. People that are cynical have a hard time trusting, loving, and letting anybody into their world because they're cynical. Now, the cousin of cynicism is scorn. Cynicism, if left with a long period of time, turns to scorn. The Bible says that you will not experience happiness if you sit in the seat of the scornful. What is scorn? Cynicism is that we doubt the motives. Scorn expresses itself in contempt, disdain, and disrespect. So here's how it goes. I have a cynical spirit. If I've had a bad experience in marriage, then I become cynical about marriage. If I don't deal with my cynicism, it turns into scorn about marriage. And you hear me say, I'll never get married again. No, not me. That's not for me. I'm not going to put that ball and chain on me. No way. You think that's a piece of paper? That's never going to happen. I run into a whole generation of 20-something-year-olds that don't want to get married. You know why they don't want to get married? Because they have seen dysfunction and brokenness in their parents' marriage. And so when we talk about marriage, they have a distaste in their mouth for marriage. Because they've seen something that didn't work, something that was unhealthy. They become cynical about marriage. You know, when I got married, I was 21 years old when I got married. I still remember that day. I took my bride and we stepped into this car that we had. We tied cans to the back. We put a sign, just newly married. I was so happy. Looked at her. We're driving down the neighborhood in a very nice June 14th day. Remember that? June 14th. And I was driving down the neighborhood, windows down, looking at my bride, thinking, I'm so glad I married. And we stopped at a stoplight, and there was a guy in the corner with a paper bag and a bottle. And he said, hey, buddy! And I thought he was going to say, congratulations, you just got married. He said, hey, buddy, you just made the worst decision in your life. Now, let me say this. If I would have stopped, gotten out of my car, walked over to him, which I didn't, I had a honeymoon to get to, I'm guessing that if I would have talked to him, he had a bad experience with marriage. Maybe multiple marriages. Maybe it turned into a bitter divorce. Maybe he was jaded by it. So now he was scornful, contemptuous, negative about the entire institution of marriage or anybody else that engaged in it. Why? Because his cynicism and hurt had given way to scorn. Listen to me well. Look up at me. This is really important. Some of you are here today, and you can barely get close to God because you've had a bad experience with religious institutions. You were hurt, disappointed, rejected, not loved, not fit in, condemned. And so you develop sometimes a cynicism towards all things related to God. How do I know? Because I talk to people all the time that have had a bad experience. And they're cynical towards church, God, the Bible, and anything that even smells a little religious. And if you're not careful, that cynicism can turn to scorn. That scorn can turn to rejection. And you can wake up one day wondering why you're not close to God, why you don't have a relationship with God, because you've allowed the hurt that someone, a church, a person, a group, projected onto this God that loves you more than what you could ever imagine or fathom, a God of grace and second chances, and you've allowed your hurt and cynicism to keep you away from the very one that could give you the fulfillment of your life.
That's Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps in the middle of a three-part message about the power of choices. We'll get to the final part on Monday, so make plans to tune in then. In the meantime, we encourage you to visit our website and check out this month's valuable Bold Step gift by going online to boldstepsradio.org. For a limited time, we're offering Dr. Erwin Lutzer's groundbreaking book, We Will Not Be Silenced. And to get a better understanding of why this resource is such a great tool for Christians and churches all across the nation, Mark, you have Dr. Lutzer with you.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Again, we have once again in our studio our friend, a great friend of Moody, pastored Moody Church for 36 years and just still active and preaching all over the place. Hard to keep up with this man, but he's in the studio right now because we want to talk about a book that he wrote called We Will Not Be Silenced. You know, a lot of people, Erwin, believe that as Christians, we don't want to offend people, so they silence their voice in order not to offend people or turn them away from Christianity. Talk to me about your approach about truth and love.
Yes, that's a difficult balance, but I want to share with you that most people don't understand communication. People listen with their hearts as much as they do with their minds. Mm. So if you try to convince people simply by their minds, you know, ram it in, cram it in, people's heads are hollow, ram it in, cram it in, make sure there's more to follow, what you might receive is backlash. On the other hand, if all that you do is communicate with their hearts, you might be sacrificing truth. It is possible to do both, truth and love. And sometimes we get it wrong, but that's our goal, and that's our scriptural command.
Yeah. And I want to say, by the way, just a personal testimony. Pastor Lutzer pastored for 36 years here in the city of Chicago, a very liberal, progressive city, not necessarily the heart of the Bible belt. And yet the testimony, even in this city, has been of a man that has spoken truth, but in a gracious way. So I want to thank you for that. He's written a book called We Will Not Be Silenced. I highly recommend it, especially if you're struggling with how do I engage in this culture? How do I speak and not silence my voice at a time where really Christians need to be speaking up? And we would love to put a copy of this book in your hands.
Here's how to get it. Just go online to boldstepsradio.org and make your donation and request this Bold Step gift. Or just call us at 1-800-DL-MOODY. That works out to be 1-800-356-6639. Or send your gift through the mail by writing to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And friends, this ministry relies on the faithful support of believers who share our passion for bringing biblical truth to a broken world. And right now, it seems more than ever, our society needs to hear God's word. So we're inviting you to help us do just that by becoming a Bold partner. When you give a monthly gift of $30 or more, you'll be among the important circle of friends who make these daily lessons possible. In doing so, you'll be helping others take their next steps with Jesus, just as you have. Plus, you'll receive a number of personal benefits as well. Becoming a Bold partner is quick and easy. Just go to boldstepsradio.org. And don't forget, you can always catch this program or our sister program, Bold Steps Weekend, on your favorite smart device. Just look for us in your podcast app by searching for Bold Steps Weekend with Dr. Mark Job and click subscribe. And of course, be sure to listen to Bold Steps Weekend this Saturday or Sunday on your local station, or simply go online to boldstepsweekend.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll see you again Monday for the final part of today's message, The Power of Choices. Gain some biblical advice on how choices affect your happiness. That's Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.